praise your name forevermore. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Be seated. Take your Bible and your copy of God's Word. Turn to 3 John. 3 John. It's right after 1 and 2 John, if you have a hard time there. Actually, if you go to the end in Revelation, just kind of hang a left. It's not too far from there. It's 1, 2, 3 John, Jude, Revelation. So it's towards the end of your Bible. We've been working our way verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And by God's grace, we're going to finish this epistle today. Then next Sunday, I told myself in the baptistry, don't talk too much. Get to the text. But I got a couple things I want you to know about. Next Sunday is going to be our missions emphasis Sunday. The couple that's coming to be with us, my wife and I love them dearly. We've been to see them a couple times where they serve overseas. I'm not sure I can tell you where it is. I'm not. But we're going to be blessed by Caleb and Tiffany Coppinger being with us. And so just be praying for that. And then the week after that, I think I'm going to be in Colorado, Wyoming that next week. Yeah? Is that right? Yes. I think I'm gone. I don't know where I am. If I'm not here, K-Mac is preaching, okay? So K-Mac, if I'm not here, just stand up and go, man. Just be ready. He's ready in season, out of season. It's all good. And then let me tell you this too. Today, we baptized in the first service. We got two in the second service. I sweat after a baptism. So I'm going to sweat all day. And then we've got Explore East. That's our, it's technically a membership class, but it's for anybody that would like to join, that's thinking about joining, that has joined but hasn't taken the class, or maybe just want to know more about East, what we believe in our ministries. You say, man, I meant to sign up for that. Here's the deal. We always have enough food. And there's always some Baptist that doesn't show up. Amen. They sign up, but they don't show up. And so things happen. Things happen. We even had one this morning texted us or emailed us, said, hey, I'm coming, but my wife and kids won't be there because they forgot about a birthday party. And so there's space. There's food. You can have I think it's lasagna and salad. Don't come because you don't like lasagna. Amen. Come and check us out. We'd love to have you. That's right after the 11 o'clock service. So that's a long time from now. We'll go to a small group. We've got a lot of great small groups. We'd love for you to plug in with those. And then join us for Explore East. And so, man, I'm wired. I think it's all the cough medicine. I've been coughing for 3 weeks. Anybody had a cough for 3 weeks? I had one that lasted for 3 months one time, so I'm hoping we're not. I'm going back to the doctor Wednesday. If this thing doesn't clear up, that'll be 3 weeks from the last time I went to the doctor. So it's really been 4 weeks I've had to cough. And so just pray that the tickle will stay away. I had a dentist appointment Thursday, and I was scared to death I was going to cough right in her face. And for 25 minutes, I was good. But then after that, I was like, you know, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. 3 John. Joy got the nice guy. And I get to talk a little bit more about that nice guy and another nice guy. And then I get to talk about a not so nice guy. Diatribes is, he said, he might would title this message, Don't Be a Diatribes. I think I like that. But here's what I would say. What's your testimony? First of all, when I hear your name, what do I think? But you know what? It doesn't really matter what Tommy thinks. When the world hears your name, what do they think? Somebody loves Jesus? Somebody that claims to love Jesus, but then do whatever they want to. But here's the one that really matters. What does Jesus think when he hears your name and he hears my name? May Jesus believe and understand and think when he hears the name of Tommy. Oh, he's imperfect, but he's chasing after me. He's walking with me. That's my desire. That's my heart. I pray that is your heart. And so what is your testimony? There's different types of testimonies in this text, and we're going to read through the whole text, and I'm going to walk through several of these different types of testimonies. Beginning in verse 1, I'm going to read the whole chapter. I'll read the whole chapter, and you'll be able to tell somebody today, I read a whole book of the Bible today. It's not a long book, but you don't have to tell them it was a short book. Amen? The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth, beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love. You see why I'm using the word testimony? It's talking about his testimony. Who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. For they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles, from the lost world. They didn't take anything from the lost world. They didn't try to, they weren't in it for money. They weren't in it for fame. They were in it to serve Jesus. Therefore, we ought to support people like these that we may be fellow workers for the truth. I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God, and whoever does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. I had much to write to you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends, each by name. John loved this guy. John loves this church. John loves the preachers that are going out in the name of Jesus, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. John is sharing his rejoicing over the testimony of some and his grieving over the testimony of others. What's your testimony? There's those that bring joy. The review of Gaius. Gaius brought joy to the heart of Pastor John. He says, whom I love in the truth in verse 1. Gaius seems to be spiritually healthy, but it seems that there may have been some physical health problems. And John said, hey, I pray you'd be as healthy physically as you are spiritually. He wanted to see him flourish physically. And then Gaius had a good testimony. Verses 3 and 4, for I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified about Gaius. I have no greater joy than to hear, what? To hear the testimony that his children walk in truth. There's those who have a testimony that bring joy to the Lord, that bring joy to the church. There's those who show care and hospitality. Oh man, when I was thinking about those that bring joy, those names, it just came to my heart. Folks at previous churches and at this church, this church, when I see you, it's a blessing. It's an encouragement. It's sometimes you'll give me a hard time, but it's in good fun, right? It's not, there's names that come to my mind. And as I look around, I think of those that bring joy when I'm around you. I enjoy spending time with you. I enjoy us fellowshipping together. I enjoy hearing of what God's doing in your life. There's those that bring joy. And then there's those that show care and hospitality. And there's some of the same names and some other names that just love people. If there's a way to serve somebody, they're the first ones baking a cake or fixing a meal, or those that show care and hospitality or handing out food in the name of Jesus. There's those who show care and hospitality. It appears Gaius, along with some others possibly, showed hospitality to a group of traveling believers, probably a group of traveling preachers. And Gaius had the means, but he also had the heart to just show them incredible hospitality. We should be people that love people in the name of Jesus, but especially those that are going to share the good news of the gospel. So when you give to missions, it's not just money you're giving to some offering. It's money to bless those that are leaving their homes and their families to go all over the world and share the glorious good news of the gospel. There's those who show hospitality. But then there's those that cause strife. Their testimony is one that causes strife. Can I just tell you this? In all integrity and complete honesty, there was not a name associated with East Leesville Baptist Church that came to my mind when I began to think of Diotrephes. There may be a Diotrephes in the crowd, but you have not yet shown yourself. Now, can I just, in complete honesty and complete integrity, there were a couple from previous ministries that in all they're doing wanted to do whatever they could to be in control of every single thing. And I'll just tell you this. In most churches, in Vernon Parish, there's a diatrice or two. And there may be one up in here. But God just kept you shut up. And I hope he keeps you shut up, if that's your heart. But in almost every other church where we drive by, there's somebody that thinks it's their job to be in control of God's church. And it's not the pastor. And even the pastor's not the one that's to be in control of God's church. Whose church is it? God's. Well, you're in charge. If I ever begin to think that, God's hand is going to be removed. We will not see God's blessing. We will not see God's favor. A pastor is called to serve. Now, we've got to lead. We've got to stand. We've got to make important decisions. We've got to get shot at first and fussed at first. That's our job. That's our calling. But oh, let us never have the heart of a diatrice. Let us never have the heart of someone who thinks that everything's got to be done their way and in their process and their preferences. And I'm just telling you, that is not the heart of Christ. The heart of Christ takes a towel and a basin and washes the feet of even Judas, but even more, the heart of Christ goes to the cross and dies for someone else's sin. There's those who call strife. Listen, John calls this person out by name. Can I just tell you this in the name of Jesus? After I have talked to you, and after one or two others have gone to talk to you, I will call you out by name in front of God's people if you act like a diatrice. According to what Jesus says in Matthew 18, that's how we'll handle it. I can tell you right now, I haven't had to have a talk with anybody in East like that, and certainly haven't had to take one or two others, and I hope it never comes to the place where I call anybody out by name. But bless God, if somebody's causing that much disruption and dissension and ungodliness in God's church, I am called by God to call it out by name. If that makes you mad, you might be on the road to being a diatrice. You won't hear it until you and I have had a talk. You won't hear it until one or two others have come along. Read Matthew 18. It's what Jesus said to do. This is a place that we must guard the unity. What was diatrice? He was selfish. Look what he says. He likes to put himself first. He had a selfish testimony. Selfish, self-centered, self-seeking. You know, you start to trend that way when you think that the service is all about you. And that what ought to happen is everything you think ought to happen. Instead of recognizing that there's nothing that should happen in this place that's not about him, that doesn't glorify him, that doesn't point to Jesus. It's not about us. And diatrice was selfish and he wanted his own way. He put himself first, but also he did not acknowledge the authority of John. Listen, compared to John, I have no authority. In relation to John, John was an apostle of Christ Jesus. And in church history, the apostles were given the Spirit of God to write the Scripture by the Spirit of God. There was authority that came with the apostles. And diatrice showed incredible arrogance, not recognizing that authority. He was threatened by John's power and John's authority. And John had more attention than he had, and diatrice was jealous, and so he did not respect that authority. Let me just give you a little side point here. If you always have issues with those who have authority over you, it may be poor leadership on their part, but it very well may be a spiritual issue on your part. Did you hear that? It may be poor leadership on their part, but it may very well be a spiritual issue on your part, and I guarantee you the problem is on your part if you have a problem with God's authority. Because he is a perfect father. If you have a problem with the authority of your pastors, we are men with clay feet. And we will make mistakes. I started to say we may make mistakes. We will make mistakes. But as much as we teach the truth of Scripture, your problem with our authority is not with us, but it is with God. And diatrice had a problem with John's authority, but also he was talking wicked nonsense. His testimony was one of gossip. He was a gossiper. We don't have any of those in Vernon Parish, so we're good here, right? I have never in my life been more convicted by one of my sermon points in a 2-week period than I have this one. And I would not consider myself a gossip, but there have been at least 24 times, a couple this morning at breakfast, where something would come out of my mouth, probably not even bother anybody that heard it, was truth and none of it was a lie, and almost immediately God would bring conviction on my spirit. A couple times I went to the people that I had said those things, said, hey, listen, what I said was true, and the heart in which I said it I don't think was sinful, but I got convicted that I should have just left. I'll give you a specific example. I was sitting around at breakfast in Georgia. When were we in Georgia? Sometime in the last couple weeks. I don't know where. I'm in Leesville right now, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. And we were sharing some testimonies of bigwig preachers that had disappointed us. And I shared the story about a gentleman, a preacher, that had done something that, the gist of the story was that he said he had an emergency, but where we found out he was that particular time where he had to cancel on us, that was an emergency, was a bigger opportunity. Amen? Y'all know what I'm talking about? And I knew this firsthand. And I shared that story, but then I shared the name of the individual preacher. And immediately. I think I'd have been okay. I don't think I'd have got convicted if I'd have just shared the story and the details of the story. I shared what had happened and how we knew he lied to us. But as soon as I said the name, it was like conviction. And then I was heading into meetings with these other three preachers. And I found each of them individually and I said, hey, listen, I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. As soon as I said it, I got conviction. You see, what I was saying was truth. But even yet, the Holy Spirit of God convicted me that I should have kept it to myself. This is just free and unsolicited. That counts for Facebook too. It counts for X or Twitter or whatever it is too. IG, Threads, whatever one floats your boat. TikTok, whatever. Some things you just ought not to share. Maybe if we'd pray more than we share, we might see God actually do something. But Diotrephes, he was telling lies. He was spreading lies and nonsense is what the word share there. So here's the deal. Make sure information you share is truth. And oftentimes, it's best not to even share. And here's the verse. I don't think in any way I'm a Diotrephes. But oh man, then I look back in my study and as I was thinking through this point, I remembered a verse that Jesus shared in Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 35. The good person, out of his good treasure, brings forth good. And the evil person, out of his evil treasure, brings forth evil. I tell you, don't miss this. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. How many careless words have you spoken this week? Jesus will not leave me alone on this. I confessed one Wednesday night. I was driving in Leesville, and this truck, I would give make and model, but it might be one of y'all, so I'm not going to, was driving foolishly in and out. I almost took off my front bumper and almost took off the tailgate of the truck that was, I didn't think there was room for him, but he made it, praise the Lord. And I was calling Philip Hunt. I'm calling you out by name, not in a bad way, but just, you know, you were innocent in this matter. And as I was dialing, this guy did that, and I said, idiot. I said it. I just, right then. And that was the first word Philip heard me say. It was truth. Idios, the Greek for one's own, selfish. It's spiritual, amen. But was careless. May God remove our careless words, our careless posts. May we get to the point where He so moves in our minds and our hearts, He removes our careless thoughts. I'm telling you, it's like, say something. So if I got to go through it, you got to go through it. Amen? You all right? But diatribes, it wasn't even careless, it was malicious. Look what it says that he does. He brings up talking wicked nonsense against us. Then finally he refuses to welcome the brothers, stops those who want to, and puts them out of the church. He's legalistic. He's controlling. What is your testimony? Is it one of selfishness? Is it one of arrogance? Is it one of gossip? Is it one of legalism or controlling? Let it not be of God's people. There's those who bring joy. There's those who show care and hospitality. There's the testimony of those that cause strife. But then we see Demetrius. John wants to go back to a positive example. It's those who bring blessing. Look at verse 12. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone. And from the truth itself, we also add our testimony. And you know that our testimony is true. I had much to write to you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and then we will talk face to face. There's something about being in the same room with God's people. Facebook Live and Zoom are great things if you're homesick. There's nothing like face-to-face fellowship with God's people. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends each by name. Those who bring blessing. John gives Demetrius as an example. He had a good testimony. From whom? From everyone. His testimony was clear. Not that he was perfect, but his testimony with all the people was that he was a blessing. From the truth itself. It wasn't just word, it was action. And then John says, hey, I the apostle, I confirm this as well. Our testimony is true. So here's the question. What's your testimony? What's my testimony? What do we want it to be? It'll never be that you're a child of God until you surrender in Christ Jesus and receive the benefit of the gospel. In conclusion, I want to just give you the last verse there that we haven't covered yet. You might have noticed I skipped it in our talk, and it's verse 11. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God, and whoever does evil has not seen God. What's your testimony? What's your reputation? Beloved, do not imitate evil. It's the passive middle imperative. It's what drives you. It's the idea of action that is taking place in you from an outside authority, an outside force, or a force separate from yourself. And if you're imitating evil, it's from an outside force, and we know that force is Satan himself. Do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Same verbiage. And if we're to imitate good, it will be from the Holy Spirit of God who dwells in us and walks us through our actions. If anything good comes from you, and comes from me, it's through Christ Jesus. He that does good is of God, saved. Imitate Jesus. The word there for imitate or is like mimic or impersonate. We ought to act like Jesus. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we ought to imitate Jesus. Who does good is of God. We see the good examples of Gaius and Demetrius. And he who does evil has not seen God, not saved. Maybe Baptist, but not saved. You know, you can't be one and not the other. Example of Diotrephes. I do not believe a heart of that like Diotrephes, who consistently, faithfully shows these types of actions, is not the heart of one that is redeemed. You say, preacher, you think the names of those that you thought of when you read about Diotrephes were lost? That's above my pay grade. But they did not display the actions of one who imitated Christ. They displayed the actions of one who was selfish and controlling and lacked respect for authority. So are we imitating Jesus or the world? What's your testimony? What's your reputation? What do you want it to be? What if we're to take your top 10 moments of this last week and your top worst moments of the last week, and they were posted on the screen? Would it be a testimony of one that strives after Jesus? Oh, there's some faults in there. You've got some bad moments. Mine included the word idiot. Amen, y'all, right? And honestly, I wish that was the worst one. Y'all, don't look at me all spiritual. But I pray you would see. I believe you would see a heart that wants to imitate Jesus, and that by His grace, I'm doing that more and more. Oh, there's still work to be done. Don't say amen too much. Amen. But oh, that we'd imitate Jesus by the power of His Spirit. We cannot do this in our strength, folks. This is not about do better. This is not about make better decisions. This is about die to self and live for Christ. Paul put it this way in Galatians 5, beginning in verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit. You can't walk by the Spirit if you've never been saved. It's not possible. You must be saved that the Spirit would dwell in you. But even as we're saved and He dwells in us, Paul instructs, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions. Acting like Diotrephes is what it's saying. Envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. The language there gives the idea of those who practice such things. If your consistent behavior is these things, that is the behavior of a lost person. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We feed the Spirit of God with the things of God, and we starve and we destroy in the name of Jesus. By the strength of the Spirit of God, we destroy the flesh, and we build a testimony, a reputation worthy of the call of Christ Jesus on our lives. We do it not in our strength, but only by His strength. So here's the question one more time. What's your testimony? Youth, in your hallways, with the people that know you come to East Leesville Baptist Church, What's your testimony? Church member, in the place where you work, when the stories start getting told, what's your testimony? Preacher, when you're driving on 171, we laugh, and I intended for you to laugh. What's my testimony? In word, in action, and Lord, let it be even in thought that I would imitate Jesus. But I am not able outside of the Spirit of God who dwells in me. And if you are saved, He dwells in you. And let's just ask Him, Lord, give me a testimony like Gaius. Give me a testimony like Demetrius. Don't let me be a Diotrephes. Bow with me if you would. Our musicians are coming. Without the Spirit of God, this is impossible. With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. But what must happen is you as a man, you as a woman, you must be a child of God if you're to even start to begin this journey of having a testimony that imitates Christ. And in a crowd this size, there's two or three dozen. You've never been saved. You've been in church. You might be on a roll somewhere. You even, there's been times where you thought you were, but if you're honest between you and God, and believe me, God already knows, but between you and God, I've never really surrendered to Christ. Your step this morning is to be saved. K-Mac and I will be up here, just come grab one of us by the hand and say, I just need to give my life for Jesus. My testimony is not what I want it to be. And the first step I need to take is surrender. But you know, here's the tough part is, even after we've surrendered to Christ, the world can easily just start slipping in things that our testimony is not where it should be. We start making decisions that we know don't honor Christ, but we just fall into ruts or bad habits, or we just fall to sin. We know there's certain things in our lives that have no business being in the life of a believer. So here's a call I'm calling to you is, between you and Jesus, right where you sit, this simple prayer, Lord, whatever needs to change, that my testimony would be more like Jesus, let it happen. God's shown some of you some things right now, and you just need to say, yes, Lord. Whatever needs to be taken away, whatever needs to be added on, for us to be like Jesus, that our testimony would be, yeah, he's not perfect, but oh, he walks with Jesus. She makes some mistakes, but oh, she walks with Jesus. That teacher, she goes to church, but she doesn't just go to church, she lives it. We get on her nerves enough sometimes that she loses it, but she lives it, and it's obvious. Oh man, that employee, yeah, there's some things about this job that aggravate him almost out of his mind. But you can tell there's something different. You can tell he's got something deeper. May it be our testimony to a world that needs to see it. They've seen enough of those that claim Jesus and just live just like the world. There's plenty of examples. May there be less and less in this body called East Leesville Baptist Church. Or do whatever it takes in my life, in my heart, in my mind, in my habits, in my routines, and my thoughts, to make my testimony more and more like Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the quick and sure conviction of your Holy Spirit. I just pray I would need him less and less often to convict me of things. But Lord, let us be more like Jesus. And Lord, whatever needs to happen in response in this place today, have your way, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to stand. We're going to sing.